What's up, Marks? It's Jobber Adam because I make people look strong.
And this is Jabroni Nick because I know my role and shut my mouth.
Yes, and welcome to another edition of the Jobber and Jabroni Show on the Cheering from the Cheap Seats feed. Sorry, I may have cut you off there. What was you going to say?
Now, I was going to say that the first time that we're on the Cheering from the Cheap Seats feed for this show, and the first time we're back with this show in a long while.
Yes, yes. I always like doing this show. We've only done a couple of them, but I enjoy it. These are our, I guess, our alter egos, if you will.
My alternate gimmick.
Yes, yes. So my jobber gimmick.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, first of all, this isn't going to be a stadium review like our typical cheering from the cheap seats. This is wrestling. This is a wrestling-centric show for anybody that might be new. We're going to use this anytime we talk pro wrestling. So since it's not a sport, I mean, it tries to be a sport, tries to make itself look like a sport, but it's entertainment. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's been some wrestling themed shows that we did were cheering for the cheap seats, but almost all of those were like top 10, whatever. This is actually an event that we're covering.
Yes. So we're going to use this as pretty much any talk about a pay-per-view or anything like that. But yeah, so you and I had the privilege to attend a live pay-per-view for All Elite Wrestling Sunday night in Greensboro.
Sure did.
It was AEW Revolution and headlined by none other than Sting, the Icon's final match.
And it's Sting!
And I don't know. I know he's your favorite wrestler. He's one of mine. I grew up watching him in WCW.
Yep.
Saw his a little bit lackluster run in WWE.
So don't get me wrong. I watched Survivor Series 2014 live with my brother and one of my sisters, and about jumped out of my seat when Sting debuted at the end of that pay-per-view. So yeah. I was excited for his WWE run.
I was excited, but in execution, I think the match with Triple H it had a wonky finish. I'm fine with him facing Seth Rollins, but unfortunately it ended the way it did with him getting injured. And we never got the one match with him in WWE that we wanted, which is him versus Undertaker.
Yeah. So I guess say lackluster. I just wanted to point out that I was excited for Sting to finally be in WWE, but I agree. His WWE career didn't exactly work out the way that we all wanted it to.
Yeah, and I definitely think his AEW run has been far superior than his time in WWE.
Now he did kind of vitalize his career in TNA as well, which I didn't watch a whole lot of TNA around that time because I thought TNA was god awful, but apparently he was a highlight of TNA during that time.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of TNA when I realized he was there. So that kind of he's what drew me over there for a little bit that I did watch, you know, because it's Sting. In WCW, I was definitely a Goldberg guy, but I definitely rooted for Sting, you know, versus NWO and all that stuff. So, So I know we'll talk more about him later when we get to his match. So, I guess we'll start off with some initial thoughts of the show. We're not going to get too deep here, but what's your initial thoughts of the show as a whole?
So first off, you and I both knew that when they first announced that this event, Sting's final match ever, was going to be held in Greensboro, that we were going to have to find some way to go.
Yes, for sure. He announced it first that it was going to be a revolution, and I didn't know at the time it was in Greensboro. So I'm like, okay, yeah, we definitely got to get together and watch it. And then when they announced it was in Greensboro, I'm like, holy crap. Okay, we have to go. So I'm watching ticket prices, and I'm like, okay, so, and honestly, it was cheaper to go to this event than to buy it and watch it on TV.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, of course.
Well, for where we sat.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with where we sat.
No.
But, yeah. So, like I said, we definitely knew that we had it to go. And, of course, that was what almost everybody was there for. But, so I'm going to admit, too, that leading up to this, I didn't watch a whole lot of AEW. I don't get a chance to watch a whole lot of wrestling nowadays. It's just, if I'm being honest, I kind of have to pick and choose what I watch at night. Because, yeah.
And it's a lot. There's a lot of wrestling. Like, just with WWE, you can't watch everything because it's Monday night. It's Tuesday night with NXT. It's Friday night. It's and then if there's a PLE that weekend. So, and then throw AEW into it, forget about
it. It's wrestling on almost every night nowadays. Yeah. So I didn't watch a whole lot of AEW. I mean, of course, I saw highlights. It's usually how I watch most of my wrestling nowadays is on TikTok or YouTube or whatnot. Like I watch the highlights. So didn't get to watch a whole lot of it. But as far as I will admit too that I didn't know everybody that was competing at this event.
Mm-hmm.
But my initial thoughts are that the event as a whole was a very strong event. I mean, I had so much fun going there. I won't say every match was perfect. I felt it kind of dragged in the middle a little bit, but for the most part, especially I felt it started off really strong. And then of course they put on Sting as the main event. Mm-hmm. I felt it ended very strong. So I'm excited to get more into it, but that's my initial thoughts of it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I did make a point to watch more AEW in the weeks leading up, just so I had an idea of storylines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just in general, I'm a little bit more familiar with it because, like Will Ospreay, who we'll talk about later, I can't recommend watching his matches enough to you. And I think I hope he lived up to it, to my high praise, which I think he did. But this was probably my favorite wrestling event maybe I've ever been to. One, it's a pay-per-view, so they're going to go all out than more than just a regular TV taping.
Yeah.
And the only other pay-per-view I've been to was Fall Brawl back in, I think we decided it was 98.
Yeah, I think so.
So, and I had fun then, but from what I remember of it, but this show was fantastic.
Yes.
Pretty much from start to finish.
Yes.
There were some low points, but that's to be expected. And you can't have every match be like 5-star or else you'll be wore out by the end of it.
So, I was wore out by the end of it.
Yeah. And I know one of the criticisms to AEW is they're, pay-per-views are very long. They tend to be it started at the main card started at 8, so we were there before 7.
Yeah,
we didn't get out of there until after midnight. So,
So I'm not surprised to hear that you appreciated being at this event a little more than Fall Brawl 98. Which we talked about it before. Like I remember watching Fall Brawl 98, so I have great affinity for it. But I do admit that this was a whole lot better than that pay per view. So and this was my third overall pay per view being at. I think I need to go back and because my first one ever was Judgment Day 2003 for WWE. So I'd be very interested to go back. Because I have very fond memories of Judgment Day. So I would like to go back and revisit that pay-per-view and kind of compare it to this one. This one was a whole lot better. So my second one was a TNA. It was Destination X 2008. And this one was leaps and bounds better than that one. So it's at least better than that one, I know for sure. But I have such fond memories of Judgment Day that it would be very interesting to see how I would compare this one to Judgment Day. Maybe I just need to watch both of them back to back and see.
Yeah, well, we need to watch the shows you've been to, and we need to watch Fall Brawl 98 and just do a review of like all of them.
So, hey, I'm down for it.
Yeah, because I don't think I've watched it back on TV since, you know, ever. So, yeah, and I'd be interested to see how this one that we went to Sunday played on television too, because, you know, it's obviously a different feel from live versus TV. You don't have the commentators.
Yeah.
So, and there's little things, maybe some details you miss, but still, I'd much rather be there in person than watching it on TV.
You're right. You're right. I mean, of course, having to sit up a little bit higher, like you said, there were some things that we might have missed in some of these matches, but just being there in the atmosphere and being able to experience this live was such a fun time.
Yeah. All right. So, I guess we'll go match by match. Probably not get too great detail on every single one of them, but so I think you got the match card pulled up.
I do. I have it right here from good old Wikipedia.
Oh, no, wrestling wiki, Wrestlepedia.
No, Wikipedia does its job. It just it gives me what I need. So I don't remember did you mention it that we were going to go through each match and kind of give a letter grade for each one. And then maybe give a little bit of thoughts on it. And then at the end, maybe give out some awards and an overall letter grade.
Yeah. So we'll do just our just quick letter grade, kind of like different sites do. Every other site that reviews wrestling does. Okay. Grade for per match and then grade for the show as a whole.
Sounds good then. All right. So the first, televised match was for the AEW TNT Championship, and it was Christian Cage, who was the champion coming in against Daniel Garcia.
So this one was probably one of my most surprising matches. Like, I wasn't expecting much out of this one, and I don't know. Of course, we know Christian from WWE, we know with Edge and everything, but I don't know much about Daniel Garcia, but man, did he impress me in this match.
Yes, very much so.
He had the crowd behind him, a bunch of near falls, and then, just kind of a heel finish for Christian, you know, with his manager, his little posse getting involved and retaining the title. So, spoilers, by the way. So if you haven't watched this pay-per-view, just beware.
Yes. So you might want to turn us off and go watch it and then come back, and that way you can hear our thoughts, because we're going to probably spoil every match that happened that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm like you. I didn't know a whole lot about Daniel Garcia coming in, but man, I feel like this was a very strong start to the pay-per-view. I thought it was a really good match. Like you said, Garcia had the fans behind him, and just there were a lot of moments, and maybe, you know, not knowing a whole lot about Daniel Garcia, maybe I was a little ignorant to everything, but I really felt like there were times that it could feel like that he could win the championship. I mean, it's a pay-per-view, so you kind of expect that the championship could change hands more in a pay-per-view than a regular show. But and I just love everybody's reaction. Like, everybody just booed the crap out of Christian this whole night. So it was fantastic the way that he was able to play the heel work and just have the crowd just hate him the entire night. As soon as he walked out onto the ramp, the crowd started booing, and it didn't stop the whole match.
Yeah. So. And you know, I love Christian, you know, just from the nostalgic standpoint, but he is so good at just his look and his demeanor, just making you want to boo that man.
This man comes out in a sleeveless turtleneck. If that's not douchey enough, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, for real. For real.
So, like you said, he's the heel. So, of course, you got to have heel tactics with his posse. You know, Luchasaurus with the choke slam. And then I don't know who the other guy was with him. Nick Wayne? Does that sound right?
That's right. I don't know much about him.
But yeah.
So he, I can't. Yeah.
Yeah, so he ends up getting involved and costing Daniel Garcia the match. So, but I once again, I feel like this was a very strong match to start the pay-per-view and really got the crowd into it, even if the heel won.
Yeah, and you always need that strong match to, you know, come out the gate to get them going. So, I always go back to Macho Man and Steamboat at WrestleMania. Was that three?
Yes.
I think one of those, yeah. Like one of the perfect examples of a curtain jerker match.
Yes.
But so what letter grade, unless you got anything else to say, what letter grade you got on this one?
Well, I think I pretty much said what I wanted to say. I think I'll give this, I'll give it a B+. I think that's a very fair rating for this match.
Okay. I'm kind of in the same area. I'm gonna go with a. I think I'm more like an A-.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of determined if it could be bumped into A-, but I feel like a B plus is fair.
Yeah, solid B+ match.
Yes, very much. Like I said, great way to kick off the pay-per-view. So let's see, after that one, the second match would be for the Continental Crown Championship, which, those that don't know, is the AEW Continental Championships, the Ring of Honor World Championship, and the New Japan Strong Openweight Championship. And there was also a stipulation. So the match was Eddie Kingston, who was the champion, or all those champions, technically, against Bryan Danielson. And if Bryan Danielson lost to Eddie Kingston, he had to shake his hand.
Yeah.
So it's for the championships and handshake.
Yeah. And golly, that's a lot of belts. And that's one thing I'll say. That's one thing I say about AEW. They have a ton of titles.
Mm-hmm.
So just think whatever. Some people don't like it. Some people don't mind it, but. Yeah, so it went almost every match on this card was a title match of some sort.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of with that one. It's kind of cool though with the cross promotion with the other. With the other
the Ring of promotion. Honor.
Yeah, so I mean that is kind of nice, but I can see some people's complaints.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this one too. Like, this was a fun match. I was rooting for Bryan Danielson. AEW here. I was rooting for Bryan. It's because I like Eddie Kingston too, but yeah. I'm a Danielson guy. And I thought he would have looked great with those three belts. You know, it would have been a good image. But both of these guys, very different styles of wrestling, yes, for sure. And just the dynamic between them and the story they were able to tell was just fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed this one too, even though I felt like it might have slogged a little bit in the middle of it. And maybe that was just, you know, the difference in their fighting styles. But once it got near the end of the match and kind of picked up where everybody was hitting, both guys were hitting their moves and everything, I feel like it kind of picked up a little bit towards the end and actually ended really good, really good. So I thought it ended up being a pretty decent match. And a pretty good follow up to the first one.
And the story at the end, obviously Kingston retained, and it looked like Bryan was sitting there for a while, and Eddie was just going to walk out, walk out. And then Bryan shaked his hand, and then raised his arm, and maybe even gave him a hug. I don't remember, but very much show of respect there at the end.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I don't know how much Ring of Honor you've ever watched, but it was very reminiscent of old Ring of Honor, because they used to have a championship called the Pure Championship, to where each contestant had to, or each wrestler had to shake each other's hands before the match. Hmm. So very, very reminiscent of that, at least to me. So but yeah. Like I said, it was still a really good match, still a really entertaining one. I just felt like might have slowed down a little bit in the middle of it.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I was still entertained.
All right. What you got for this one, or you want me to go first this time?
You can go first.
Okay. I'm gonna give this one a. You know, I think I'm gonna stick with an A minus because I just really enjoyed the story they told in there.
I think I'm gonna go a B in this one. Yeah.
B.
Yeah. That seemed a little low, but I feel like I enjoyed the Christian Cage, Daniel Garcia match just a little bit more.
Yeah, we're just saying something because I mean, this Daniel freak Brian freaking Danielson. You know, I can't get that Daniel Bryan out of my head.
It's okay. It's okay.
But yeah. So, yeah, it's solid grades.
Yeah, especially to the start of a pay per view.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So after that one was an 8-man all star scramble, which the winner receives a future AEW World Championship match. So the participants for this were Wardlow, Chris Jericho, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and Dante Martin.
And I'm pretty sure this is the match that started off at being billed as just like a 4-man match.
Uh-huh.
Meet Madness. Because it was just big, beefy dudes with between Christian, Brian Cage, Wardlow, Powerhouse, and who's the other one?
Yeah, who? What's his name?
Lance Archer, I think.
Yes,
Just four
just ginormous dudes.
Yeah, and then they decided to add four kind of smaller guys to it for, you know, I guess a different dynamic, but it was. It was fun. It wasn't my favorite match of the night because when you get these just giant multi-man matches like this, it's just chaos. And not really chaos, but like there's just so much going on. I'm very much, I like a good singles one-on-one match or a tag team. But,
yeah,
you know, I did like the spot where immediately all the smaller guys got thrown out the ring and it was just the four big dudes in there slugging it out. And then there was times where it was all the little guys. And so they did some fun stuff in it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I'll be honest. It does kind of throw you off seeing, you know, Hook and Jericho and Dante Martin. And who's the other small guy that I named that's in that match? Magnus? Oh yeah, because he's the luchador wrestler. It kind of throws you off seeing them four, and then you get just the four ginormous muscly dudes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like you normally with a match like this, like you just have either or. So having a mix of, you know, four big muscular dudes and four smaller dudes, it's kind of like, well, this is kind of weird. So. I do admit it was kind of fun at the beginning of the match where all the small guys just got tossed around and tossed out the ring and ended up being the four guys. And that led to a really fun moment to where, you know, all four of them went in opposite ends of the ropes and then kind of came together and clashed into each other. And just kind of that was fun. And then at the, you know, once all the big guys got out the ring, then all the small guys did the same spot, which was kind of funny, too, because it's like, well, you know, normally with the smaller wrestlers, you don't really get that.
So,
I mean, it was a fun match.
Did you have any one person that stood out to you in this one that you, that you kind of found yourself rooting for?
Other than Jericho? No.
Of course, Jericho. Which, I will say, I loved getting to sing his sing along to his entrance music because I don't think I got to do that when I went to Dynamite. So that's always a fun moment.
Yeah. As far as the other guys that I didn't really recognize, I was really impressed at least by the look of Powerhouse Hobbs. Like, I think that's a jack dude.
Oh yeah.
And then Wardlow. Wardlow is very impressive too.
They're definitely pushing Wardlow a lot. So I think anybody that has kind of been watching in the last few weeks, they knew it was Wardlow who's going to get this one and therefore get the title shot later on.
Okay.
But I don't know. I liked Hook because people love Hook.
Okay. The kind of smaller guy.
Yeah. With kind of cool hair and wears like boxing shorts almost.
Well, I just love, I loved in the matches where Hook was trying to take on some of the bigger guys. He'd just jump on their back and try to apply a sleeper hold to them. Those were some fun moments. I like Hook. I like Hook.
Yeah.
I just, don't know. I guess I was channeling my inner Vince McMahon and was drawn more towards the beefy, muscular guys.
Yeah, so. Yeah, for sure.
But no, Hook's a good one. I can get behind Hook.
Yeah, and so obviously Wardlow did win, and I guess he'll get a title. I guess it's kind of like a Money in the Bank thing, mm-hmm. which I don't know how it's going to work, but he'll get a title shot at some point. I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay. I didn't mention it, but I agree with you a little bit in that I felt that this was a little too chaotic. There were some moments that they did a good job of kind of spacing everybody out. So like somebody would get a move, put on them, and then they would roll off the ring, and then it would end up being like two or three guys against each other. But other than that, like it's really hard to keep track of a match when it's eight guys competing mm-hmm. in one match. And this one was definitely a step down from the first two. I guess I'll go C, I suppose.
I think I'm probably in that same range. I'll probably do a C+.
Okay. Man, apparently I'm the one with the low grades tonight.
It's okay.
I'm the one being a little harsh.
You can be our Simon Cowell.
Awful. Bloody awful.
That was absolutely horrendous.
Smells like doo-doo. Wait, what? Anywho, before we get off topic. All right, so the next one of the night was for the AEW International Championship, and it was Orange Cassidy coming in as the champion against Roderick Strong.
Yeah, and this is one I was really looking forward to. And you know, Kelsey was really looking forward to it. She loves Orange Cassidy. I love Orange Cassidy. And he's had this title for a long time. I don't know the number of days, but he's definitely been like the workhorse with this title. And it was a fun match. There's not really any specific moments that stand out to me. He got his finisher, there was some shenanigans, a little bit of shenanigans, or no?
Yeah, no. Yes, no. I don't think Undisputed got involved. No, because they were in the back.
Okay.
Now, gotta mention that I guess, like I said, I feel bad because I didn't watch any AEW leading up to it. But I guess Undisputed attacked Orange Cassidy because he came out with his ribs and back and everything kind of taped up. Mm-hmm. So I guess he got injured at some point feuding with them.
Yeah. I know they kind of attacked him last week on Dynamite during one of his matches. But they definitely told the story of his back was hurt. And so Roderick kept targeting uh-huh. that area, you know, knee back break, I don't know what the move's called, but where he drops him on his knees, drops his back onto his knees like a backbreaker.
Okay, that man did like five straight backbreakers.
Yeah, and it was they were definitely selling it.
Yeah, so to me, the big spot in that match was where Roderick Strong kind of did a, it wasn't really a suplex, but he had him in a suplex and then kind of dropped him on the top turnbuckle and then
yes.
he flopped down to the mat and just it looked like the ugliest thing ever. Like it was a horrible looking
move. Yes. I
mean, not horrible in the sense that it looked like it painful. Wasn't performed bad, but it looked very painful and like
yeah, I remember Orange that Cassidy now.
Very sold that very well. And mm-hmm. I will say that the ending kind of surprised me because Orange Cassidy, like they sold the hurt ribs or hurt back like the whole match, and then he finally starts to get a little bit of momentum, hits Orange Punch and everything, and then Roger Strong just catches him, hits his finishing move, and that's the match. Yeah, so,
yeah. I really thought he was going to retain this. I didn't think he was going to drop it to Roderick Strong, but yeah. And how many matches have we seen where somebody's got an injury like this or like the champion and then they get beat up and it's like, oh yeah, they're definitely gonna lose, and then they end up winning the thing.
Yeah,
they He pulled the trigger and he lost. So I hope it means Orange Cassidy's going to bigger and better things. Maybe maybe going for the getting in the big title picture, the AEW title picture.
Be all right. That'd be all right. But yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it before, or you mentioned it, Kelsey, because you know, like you said, she's a big Orange Cassidy fan. Like, you wouldn't be really surprised if he lost, but also at the same time, like, most of the time in wrestling, you get that storyline to where somebody comes in injured, and then they're the underdog, and then they overcome that injury to still win, and just to have Roderick Strong hit his finisher out of nowhere and be like, oh, well, that's it. It did take me by surprise, and I'm not saying it's a bad surprise. It did take me by surprise how the match ended the way that it did.
Yeah. And as I got to mention after the match, it was Kyle O'Reilly returned and gave Roderick Strong. It looked like they were going to have beef there for a minute, but they ended up giving him a hug. So I don't. And without knowing the commentary, like hearing what they're saying, I don't. I guess it means he's part of the Undisputed Kingdom again, or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, just worth mentioning.
Yeah, I wasn't very familiar with the. Kyle O'Reilly. I didn't realize that it was such a big deal because he's been out since like 2022. So it's been quite a while since he's been in the biz.
Yeah, which I think it's funny because I think he gets hurt a lot because when I went to Dynamite in like 20, mm-hmm. I think that was his debut, like as a surprise debut at the end of a match. So I'm like,
interesting.
He's just constantly showing up places.
Yeah. Whatever.
But for this match, you got anything else for this one?
No, I think I've covered everything.
I'm gonna give this one. I'll give it a.
I'll give it a B plus. I'll give it, even if the bad guy won.
Yeah. Well, it's like I know one of the other podcasts I listen to. They'll do predictions, and then he'll look at like. How many faces he has predicting to win and how many heels he had, and he tried to balance it out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many title changes he has? We're like, okay, well, there's maybe at most two title changes, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. I get that.
Right? What's the next one there?
Yeah. So the next one was a tag team match between the Blackpool Combat Club, which is Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli.
Formerly known as Cesaro.
And Dean Ambrose. Who doesn't
know. Yeah.
Against FTR, which is Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler.
This is a good tag team match. And I expected this one to be good. Mm-hmm. Because Jon Moxley and Claudio, so tough for me to call them that. they've definitely got that like brawler style.
Yeah.
And where FTR is very like traditional type of tag team wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fun to watch just in a very different way. And they're the hometown guys from Asheville, North Carolina. So I think they got a big pop was it when they came out. And I think I've actually found myself rooting for FTR to win this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course, I knew who Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli were a lot more than FTR. But, you know, you can't beat two guys that come out in Road Warrior gear, which Moxley and Claudio did, which was kind of cool. And they came through the crowd. So they wore the spike shoulder pads and came through the crowd, which was a nice touch.
Yeah, I love the Blackpool's entrance. It's always coming through from the audience.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. But yeah, so I won't say this was my favorite match of the night. It had some exciting moments. Like there was a time to where they kind of went through the crowd and started brawling in the crowd, which is always a fun time, even though it's a little more difficult to follow it when you're sitting in the stands and it is when you're watching it on TV. But I mean, especially near the end, there were a lot of near falls, a lot of times where you thought that either team could win. I was really surprised that the match ended in a submission because there wasn't a whole lot of between those three guys or those four guys. I really didn't think that they were submission wrestlers. So it was kind of surprising that it ended in a submission and the way that it did. I thought this was another kind of match that kind of dragged a little bit in the middle. And maybe that's because, like you mentioned, FTR is more traditional, more maybe mat-based wrestling. So not my favorite match. Still entertaining, though. Still had fun with it. That's really all I got to say with it.
Yeah, and I don't have a lot to say about this one other than, you know, it's a solid tag team match. You know, it wasn't for a title. It was just a feud. Moxley and Claudio won this one. You know, I was kind of surprised by that. I guess not. I mean, whenever John Moxley's involved, he's never really an underdog, but I really thought they'd give it to FTR, being from North Carolina. But if you got a grade for that one, what you got?
Let's see. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to go with. Then we go
C plus.
Yeah, I was trying to choose between C plus or B minus. But like I said, yeah. It was my favorite tag team match. I was a little bored. Like I said, at the beginning of the show, I feel like the middle part of this pay per view kind of started to drag a little bit, and I feel like it started here a little bit. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna go. Just a B, just an even B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I thought B minus or B. So,
dang, I'm definitely Simon Cal tonight. Then, ain't I?
Jeez, it's all good. All right.
So, the next match was for the AEW Women's World Championship, and it was Toni Storm, who was the champion, against Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah. I hate to say it, you know, at the risk of sounding sexist, which I mean, and I enjoy the women's matches. There's because it's not like Attitude Era and before where it's just the women were just there to be eye candy. It's they have legitimately good women's wrestlers now.
Unless you were China,
yeah, which woman is. Being used loosely there. Nah, sorry. That's the main. Sorry.
Don't get me wrong. I'm pretty sure at the time she would say the same thing.
Yeah. So. Apologies to China. God rest her soul. But Toni Storm is a great wrestler, and mm-hmm. I don't know much about Deonna Purrazzo. She probably is too. I just don't know the storyline behind it. I kind of gathered some info from the guy sitting behind me who was talking pretty loudly. So it's like Tony won the title as a babyface, lost it, turned heel, won it again, lost it again, and then her like brain broke and now she legitimately thinks she's a 50s movie star like Marilyn Monroe, which... It sounds like a fun storyline.
Yeah.
The problem was I think the best part of her matches is the character that she's playing in that little gimmick.
I can see that.
The entrance being all black and white and stuff. And I just don't know how much that comes across live, you know, when you're there in person. So it may have just been something that was just kind of we just weren't able to pick up on being there. So.
Well, I'm gonna agree. Like the entrance was great, and like it's fun because she has a butler that comes out to the ringside with her.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the actual wrestling in the match, like I mean, I'm like you. I don't want to sound super sexist because there have been good women's wrestling matches in the past,
mm-hmm.
but like there's a reason why most people. Stop and get up to go use the bathroom during some of these matches. And I just feel like this was one of those to where like I'm not gonna lie. I was bored the whole time with this match.
Yeah, I was too. And I think it was good placement. Cause it's like pretty much almost smack dab in the middle of the card. Mm-hmm. And I think they just had to give her a match, like have a women's match on the card, and they're pretty much just treading water until Mercedes Moné comes, like Sasha Banks, and then we'll have a, like probably a really good women's feud between her and Toni Storm, because we all know Sasha Banks. That's what I'm going to call her. We all know Sasha can go. Like, yes. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, I don't know. Once again, you know, this, I mentioned a couple of times that the show kind of slowed down in the middle. And I think it's part of the tag team match and this match just attributed to that. So I don't want to be hating too much. I just, this match was just there for me.
Yeah. So, let's see. Okay, I think you're first on this one.
Okay. Oh man. Oh, you're gonna make me sound like the.
I can go first if you want.
The douche nozzle. I'm gonna go D+. Mm-hmm. This is my least favorite match of the night. Spoiler alert! If we're gonna do that, superlative.
Yeah, I'll probably say the same, but I'll still do a C-.
Okay. Yeah, I thought we were going C-, but. I don't know. I guess I'm just feeling extra, like, mean tonight for whatever reason.
Hey, it's okay. I feel like on some of our stadium reviews, I can be the curmudgeon sometimes.
Yeah. Apparently our roles have changed tonight.
All right, so what's next?
All right, so the next match was your boy, Will Ospreay, versus Konosuke Takeshita.
So... hate to be that guy. I want to say it's Konosuke Takeshita.
Sure.
And I only know that because I've heard him say it on Dynamite. So, but it does, like, it's like the Japanese don't pronounce U's and like I's really. So
this is me just shrugging because I just I pronounce that the best that I could come up with. So
no, it's all good. So,
and what's weird is like. Unfortunately, being live, like you don't get to fully hear the ring announcers sometimes. So I had no idea how his name was pronounced when he came out. So yeah. I was just looking and I'm like, that's how I'm pronouncing this man's name. So,
yeah.
Anyways.
But I can see why they put the women's match where they did because they knew this one was going to be a complete banger. So,
which it was.
I know I was telling you to look up Will Ospreay clips because if you weren't familiar with him beforehand, he's maybe up there for one of my, like, possibly my favorite wrestler currently. He's definitely one of them because he had probably my match of the year last year with Kenny Omega, and everything I've seen from him is just that same intensity, especially the pay-per-view matches. Like, I don't know if I haven't seen a lot because he's been in New Japan and it's not as accessible, but everything I've seen has just been phenomenal. And Takeshita, not taking anything away from him, he did great too. I think that was the first match I've actually seen him in.
Yes.
And, but yeah, like Ospreay, he just has the, I don't know what to call it, just that swagger. Like that entrance is just amazing. The theme song is great, and the story they were telling with it was kind of weird because leading up to it, so Don Callis is like the heel manager in this. He's got the Callis family and everybody loves to boo him. Well, Will Ospreay is technically a member of the Don Callis family, or supposedly, and everybody cheers him. So it's like he was like, what bigger match can we get than to have two family members going against each other, you know, match of the decade? I'm like, okay, so it's kind of interesting. But then it turned into booing one of them and cheering one of them. So, you know, it was great. And I don't know, like, it was a phenomenal match.
I love the intensity that came from both men. Like, the match was a whole lot more competitive than I thought I was going to be. Because, I mean, I didn't know anything about, what did you say? Takeshita?
Takeshita.
So I just I thought, okay, Will Ospreay's apparently a big rising name, so this might just be a 5-minute match to where there's a few moves hit. But no, this was like a 20-minute banger. I think, yeah, it went 22 minutes exactly. Yeah. Just up until then, this was probably my favorite match of the night because this really re-energized me, and I feel like it re-energized the crowd. Because both guys move fantastically. Both guys hit all their – it felt like they hit all their moves that they were supposed to. Of course, there was that one big moment where Will Ospreay hit one of his finishing moves, and Takeshita kicked out at one and just shocked everybody. Because how often do you see a guy hit his finishing move and then get a kick out at one? So
Kenny did the same thing, but it just never failed. It's just a crazy, an amazing moment when it happens because it's just like, holy crap. And like the style that these guys wrestle is so, it's like definitely that Japanese strong style. Like these moves, they're looking like they're legitimately about to break people's neck, like landing, dropping them on their heads, just slapping, punching the crap out of each other. And like, And you can have a great match between like I don't know, like a Daniel Bryan and a CM Punk, you know, different types of wrestlers. So it's just, you know, just a completely different style. And I loved it so much.
Yeah, well see what gets me is like Will Ospreay has that, you know, he can switch between that Japanese strong style, but then also mix in, you know, these fast moves and just move around and do his flippity stuff. Mm-hmm. So just the fact that he can go between back and forth between both of them is very fun to watch.
Yeah, and I love the names of some of his moves. He's got a bunch of them, but the three I know remember is like he's got the Tiger Driver 91, he's got Stormbreaker, and then his the Hidden Blade. This is one where he just runs and just elbows him in the back of the head.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Apparently he has one called the Stun Dog Millionaire.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic. But yeah, so just great match. Great way to get the crowd woken back up.
Yeah, and this was, other than the Sting match, I think this is the one I was looking forward to the most. So
yeah,
and I guess I'll go ahead and give my grade. I think it's my turn to go first anyway. Okay. I'm just go ahead and give this A+. Like it's an A+ match.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it an A.
Hopefully I can spell Takeshita right.
Do you need to spell it out for you?
No, I think I got it. Just put an I in there somewhere.
Yeah, just somewhere. Just put it where you think it needs to go.
Yeah, A+. All right.
All right.
Okay. So let's see, we'll have 4, 5, 6, 7. What, two more to go?
Yep. All right. So the penultimate match was a triple threat match for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. And it was Samoa Joe, who came in as the champion, against Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland.
Yeah. And this one actually was better than I was expecting. I mean, I know Joe can put on some good matches, and so can Hangman. I just worried it was going to suffer from the multi-man or more than just a one-on-one thing, but surprisingly, they did a really good job. They each had their, like, going against each other one-on-one at different points in the match. They did that well. I'll tell you, Swerve Strickland he can be a star.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I mean, he has a great gimmick. He has a great theme song, a great catchphrase. Mm-hmm. Like before we even walked in the building, there's people doing Swerve Strickland's catchphrase. Mm-hmm. So this man is a rising star.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. This was a really good match. Maybe not my favorite, triple threat match of all time. But it was still really entertaining. And like you said, like it did a good job of mixing in all three of the guys against each other and then getting rid of one of the guys and having two of the other guys fighting one-on-one. You know, some great moments. You had, so each time one of the guys would try to get Samoa Joe, like Joe was up on the turnbuckle trying to do punches. Oh, no. The other guys were trying to do punches to him, and he would slip out each time and just end up getting them. So that was kind of funny. And then the Swerve and Adam Page kind of had to team up to to get him off that second turnbuckle. So I thought that was a pretty funny moment. And then, of course, there was the time where Joe had Adam Page in the Coquina Clutch, and we thought the match might be over. And then Swerve, who had been on the outside because he had been taken out, does, I guess it's a finisher. He did it off the top rope and broke up the submission to mm-hmm. keep the match going. So just a couple of fun moments. Joe ended up winning, so he's still the champion. I think did he make Adam Page submit?
Yeah, he tapped. Which I was going to mention. So it played fine live, but I've heard that watching it on TV, it was a little weird. With the commentary, what they were saying, because to us, it looked like Hangman tapped and Swerve couldn't get there in time.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Cause Swerve was literally maybe 5 feet away. Cause mm-hmm. he was still in the ring. You know, normally with endings like that, you know, the other guy is outside cause he had been hit with something and mm-hmm. is injured, but Swerve was literally like 5 feet away in the ring. Yeah. Watching Adam Page get tapped out. Okay, so anyway, so back to what you're explaining. Sorry.
No, you're fine. So apparently what they were saying on commentary was because so Swerve and Hangman had been having like a feud going for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like Hangman tapped just so that Swerve would not have the chance to break it up and get the title for himself.
Okay.
Which, if that's the case, that's a little weird. Because I mean, you always want to try to win the title, but I mean, we didn't pick up on that there live, so it was fine, you know. There, yeah.
That is kind of weird.
But so I don't have a problem with it from what we saw. I really thought that they were gonna let Swerve win this one, but it looks like they got, you know, gonna maybe carry the storyline further a little bit.
Interesting to see where else they go with it. I mean, yeah. there's not too, I don't feel like there's too much longer you can go between having the two guys that are feuding be in the same heavyweight championship match, but that's just me, I suppose.
Yeah, I think they should do Swerve and Joe one-on-one, because you always have the argument, well, you didn't make me tap, you made Hangman tap, so this me and you one-on-one, you know.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
All right, so it finally comes down to this.
Well, what grades you got for that one?
Oh, sorry. I'm jumping the gun. I'm so excited to talk about the main event that I didn't even think about grades.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give it a B+.
Cocky.
I feel like this might be the one match that I give a higher grade than you, because I can see on your face that.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna go a B. I was thinking about a B plus or B, but I'll just do a B.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it too. It's just it wasn't the best triple threat. I mean, it's still very good, but I've seen there's been some good ones.
I'm gonna have to introduce you to a triple threat match involving Samoa Joe.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So. All right. So now it all came down to this. Your main event for this pay-per-view was a tornado tag match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship.
Champions.
Yeah. So your champions were Sting and Darby Allin versus the Young Bucks, who are Matthew and Nicholas Jackson.
The EVP. I don't even know where to begin with this one.
Well, first off, you have to. So, Ric Flair was there. He came out. And then they made an announcement that there was going to be a
guest. Timekeeper.
Guest timekeeper. And would you know it? Ricky the Dragon Steamboat's theme music hits, and the crowd goes crazy.
Yeah.
So I mean, everybody was already excited for Flair just being there, which I mean, of course, with the Young Bucks, you kind of expect it because he'd been involved with them for a while, right?
At least for a few months, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, the crowd just erupted when Steamboat's music hit, because I don't think anybody expected Steamboat to be there.
No, we knew Flair was there, but Steamboat was a complete shock.
Yes. So the Young Bucks come out first. Darby Allin comes out, and then they play a big old career package for Sting. And then Sting's music starts.
We've already been like an hour. We may spend like an hour just talking about this match alone. No, do my best not to. But I like the video package. It was cool. It was Sting in the theater by himself watching highlights of his career. Only if I have to pick a nit for this, they didn't have the rights to any of the WCW footage, because WWE has that.
Being a bunch of douche nozzles.
Yeah, and which I've heard, I think WWE would have let them use it if they would have asked, but I heard that AEW didn't even ask. So that's a lot of his career that they can include in those highlights. So you just have to work with, I think, maybe some TNA, some New Japan stuff, and then a lot of AEW stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even think about.
But I mean, they had some still images, but no like footage from like Clash of Champions or anything.
Which, I mean, I didn't even, watching the package, I didn't even think about that. But now that you mention it, I noticed, I guess there wasn't a whole lot of WCW.
But that's my one little real gripe, which I don't really even have that gripe, because it was still such a amazing intro.
Mm-hmm. So. All right, so Sting's music hits, and out comes Surfer Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Which, so I'm gonna feel like a complete idiot here, but I didn't realize that Surfer Sting Surfer Sting comes out, and then Wolfpack Sting comes out, and I didn't realize that those were his sons.
I think I heard someone around us say it. Mm. I know his sons had been involved with the feud like few weeks ago. They came out, and I think Young Bucks beat him up. But to me, when the first Sting came out, I don't know about you, but they got me, like, you know, from where we were sitting, I'm like, holy crap, Sting shaved and dyed his hair, and he's going full out Surfer Sting for this final match. And then when I saw Wolfpack, I'm like, okay, you know, I see what they're doing here.
Yeah, which, I mean, I agree. Like, it kind of, because I initially thought that, oh my gosh, he actually reverted back to Surfer Sting to finish his career. It's still a great visual though of him coming out in the black and white, walking down the ramp with Surfer Sting and Wolfpack Sting.
Yeah, and he said that was his actual outfit that he wore back when he was wrestling in that.
Yeah,
that era.
Crazy stuff. So the match itself. I had so much fun with this match. Like, I'm sure that a lot of it had to do with the fact that it was Sting, and we knew that this was his final match. But I still feel like the match was very solid.
Oh, yeah. This, like, there was always the slight worry that I had that, like, you know, he's older. He's not going to be able to do, like, everything he used to do. And, like, but... man, that went out the window fast. He left it all out there. All four of those guys did.
Yes.
And I found out the Young Bucks, as much as, you know, we hate them, and they're ones that do a great job of just making you just hate them and want to see them lose, Sting picked them to be his last match because he knows how good they are at, like, well, you know, what they do. So, but... This match had everything. It was chaos. I said the 8-man match earlier was chaos. This was chaos, but in a different way, in a good way.
This was good chaos because there was a lot of a lot of car crash moments.
Oh yeah.
But it didn't feel oversaturated. So before they kind of went into the back, Sting's sons kind of started helping pull out weapons. So they pulled out everything. They pulled out three or four tables. They pulled out a ladder, pulled out some steel chairs. And then, of course, the big one, if you guys have seen the highlights, they pulled out some panes of glass.
Yeah. When they started pulling out tables, I'm like, okay, yeah, of course. When I saw that ladder come out, I'm like, oh yeah, this is we're in for something special here. And then
the glass was just a cherry on top.
Yeah.
So his sons ended up setting like two panes of glass. So they kind of lined up the chairs alongside each other and put the panes of glass on top of the chairs. Mm-hmm. So, and then, man, I don't even know. Like, Sting and Darby Allin started the match very strong. Mm-hmm. Like, the first, I feel like, great moment was the fact that Sting and his sons all got Stinger splashes in on both of the Young Bucks. So both of them were in opposite corners, and they just went back and forth, Stinger splashing both of them. So I thought that was pretty neat. And then Sting ended up locking in the Scorpion Deathlock to both Young Bucks at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty neat. And then they kind of did the because they ended up on the stage later on in the match. Mm-hmm. And Darby Allin ended up going through a table. And the Sting ends up going through a table off the stage. Kind of put Sting out of the match for a little bit. And it ended up Darby Allin got double teamed a little bit by the Young Bucks. To where I can't remember how he even ended up on the ladder.
Yeah, so the ladder got introduced, and I think it was used a little bit beforehand, but then Darby Allin set it up, and we knew where it was going. You know, first of all, we know that someone's going through that glass, and then we see the ladder, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so, and the glass is on the outside of the ring, ladder inside the ring, and it's a tall ladder too. So I'm sure everybody that has seen this, the clip of this, but this man, he jumped off. I don't think he does a coffin drop, because at this spot you got to be able to, you know, have control where you're going and stuff. He does a swanton off of it. and one, I forget which Jackson brother it was, but was down there. Well, it gets pulled out the way at the last second, and Darby just goes back first through this pane of glass, which looks thick too. Like, and it just shatters. Like,
see, what gets me about the whole clip and the whole scene was the glass looked awful, but what also looked bad is just how much he bounces off the chairs.
Mm.
So I mean, all of it just looks horrible.
Yeah, and like they show the cameras, you know, that we can see, they show him a little bit, but once he starts bleeding profusely, and look, you know, we don't see him that much. We don't see him for a while. But it looks like he's wearing like a red cape.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But, and did you know, I heard that he only needed 12 stitches.
I thought he probably needed a couple staples after seeing,
I know. But
we'll probably tell him.
So I want your opinion on this. So that spot in general, like, do you like it? Do you not like it? Or,
I mean, I can see people's complaints with it, but, you know, if he has made the decision to go all out for Sting's last match, a man that he seems to have great respect for, then let him do what he wants to do. If he's comfortable doing it, then, and I mean, it's not like he got, like, super seriously hurt. I mean, 12 stitches is, you know, nothing to sneeze at, but It's not like he got paralyzed or, you know, broke something. So if he decides that he wants to do it, then you know, let him do it.
I agree. You know, he's one to do things like that all the time. I mean, that's probably the craziest thing I've ever seen, especially live. Like that, I don't know that. I don't even know if that tops Mick Foley falling off the cell. Like that was bad too, but I mean, it wasn't glass.
Yeah.
But just given the context of the match, you know, he left it all out there for Sting. He was determined to make his last match memorable, and like everyone that watched it is going to remember that. And I don't want to see that every single pay-per-view, and I don't want to see that stuff on like TV on a Wednesday night, you know. Yeah. But here and there, I think it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are professionals. Who are we supposed who are we as fans that don't do this night in and night out to tell somebody that they can't do something?
Yeah.
So anyway, so that spot ends up putting Darby Allin out, you know, for a while in this match, which means that the Young Bucks can kind of alienate Sting, and they start beating him up, do their double super kick, and are about to finish it. They even grab the belts away from Steamboat, who, you know, sitting at ringside, and they're about to go in for the kill, and Flair jumps in the ring and, you know, stops them. And I
think before that, so not only did Sting go through a table off the ladder.
Right. That's right. Because he made it back to the ring and is wanting to put one of the Jackson brothers through the table, and ended up slipping out and powerbombing him through the table. And then
He goes through.
Then he stands up straight away, so he doesn't even stay down.
He no-sold it.
Yeah, so that's when they double super kick him and go for the kill. And as I say, you know,
they put it through some glass too, don't they?
That's right. That's how he ends up like that in the corner, because they kind of throw him into a glass that had or glass pane that had been set up in the corner. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. So this elderly man got thrown through like maybe two tables near the stage, a table off a ladder, through another table, and throw a pane of glass.
Yeah, it's just elder abuse.
Yeah.
They grab the titles, going for the kill. A Flair jumps in the ring, you know, is trying to stop the madness for a little bit. The Bucks end up double super kicking Flair. Mm-hmm. Steamboat jumps on the on the apron to do whatever he thinks he's going to do. He gets a double super kick, and then the Bucks pick up Sting, and I don't know if they call the move, but the where their opponent's on his knees, and
they're holding his arms
and going for the double knees.
I think they call it the EVP trigger.
Okay, so I mean, I'm not gonna lie, because this is one of those matches to where, like, you know, it's a Sting's last match. So I'm like, there's a chance to where he's going to go out on his back losing.
Yeah.
Especially since it's for the titles, because it's not very often that somebody retires as a champion.
Yeah. And so that's the traditional thing to do. And he's very much one of those traditionalists, I think, to want to go out on his back. And I think he did, but Tony Khan had he's like, no, you're not losing it in Greensboro, you know, and being the last match. So,
yeah. So I thought that after the double knees, I thought the match was over. The two count, Sting kicks out. So the Bucks end up picking him back up, mockingly shake his arm or like shake his hands to, I guess, congratulate him, do the move again, double knees again. And he kicks out at one. Sits up, does his whole little beating his chest, so almost like his version of the Hulk up. And then I can't remember exactly how he alienates one of the Bucks, but I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember all the ins and outs after that. I got the Flair moment and Steamboat.
Yeah.
Does Darby come back into it before it's over?
Yes. Okay. So yeah. So they ended up going. One of the Bucks was holding Sting, And the other one was going to the top rope. And Darby Allin finally gets up, pushes the guy off of, or one of the Bucks off the top rope through the table on the outside. That's what happened. Mm. Sting ends up hitting, pretty sure he hits the Scorpion Death Drop, goes for, or starts the Scorpion Deathlock, and Darby Allin hits the Coffin Drop. And that's when, after the Coffin Drop, Sting puts on the Scorpion Deathlock, and whichever Jackson brother he has in the Scorpion Deathlock taps. So Sting goes out in his last match as the as a tag team champion. So he actually wins his first match.
And
his last match.
Yeah, and that arena just lost it. And
I know I did.
Yeah, I did too. Like it was something. And of course, you know, I was willing to just, I'll get stuck in traffic. I'm staying till the very end, you know, because he gave a speech, you know, him and Darby, and, you know, thanking everybody and thanking, he got Shivani to do one more. It's Sting! You know, got his sons to come out from the back.
Tony Khan to come out.
Yeah, and then all the rest of the locker room came out on the stage. And
yeah, so
that's something, great sight to see.
Such an awesome visual, and just just a great thing to experience. Like, I'm sure that people watching on TV, you know, were able to feel a little bit something, but just being able to be there and just experience everything. Like, I don't know. I loved every second of that match.
Oh, me too. So, was this the best last match that anyone's had, in your opinion? Or?
Oh boy.
I don't know.
I'm gonna say the only one that I can think of that is really, really, really good is Shawn Michaels Ric Flair for the Ric Flair's air quote retirement match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think that's what hurts that one is because he wasn't finished. He did do more stuff later in like TNA and whatnot. So had he actually stayed retired, that may be it. But, and two, Shawn Michaels was the one that really sold that one with the tears and the "I'm sorry" super kick. You know,
I'm sorry, I love you.
Yeah,
yeah. But no, this is definitely top tier retirement matches. Like, it's fantastic. And like I said, it's not too often that not only does somebody that you know is retiring goes out as a winner, but they go out as a champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was perfect. And they're going to, they've already announced they're vacating the title. Darby's vacating the titles. And they're going to have a tournament to determine the new tag champs, which I thought that's a perfect way to go about it. But yeah, it's last match was fantastic. So, I don't know what else more we can say about it. We'll probably go on for another 30 minutes, but no, we don't have all night here. So,
yeah.
Anyways, so let's see. We need to grade this last one. I don't even know if I need to ask you, but I'm giving it an A.
I'm giving it an S.
Yes, tier. Let's go.
No, I'll go A plus.
Okay, double A plus. All right. So you want to give the overall show or do superlatives?
Let's do superlatives real quick, and then we can go and just talk about overall grade.
All right, so let's go least, I guess, low point of the night, least favorite first.
The women's match.
Yeah, I think we got the same thing. I hate to say it, but it's the women's match, and you know, it was the middle of the show. Everybody's already kind of like getting restless, need a bathroom break, and you know, it's. And nothing against the two competitors. It's just it could have been a great match, and I still think it may have been the low point just because that's how good this whole card was.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I was just bored.
Yeah. So let's go match of the night.
Ooh.
Or you want to come back to that one? Okay, let's come back. Let's do biggest surprise or thing unexpected.
Steamboat. Ricky Steamboat showing up. That'll be my biggest surprise.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think I'm going to go more, I think I'm just going to say Orange Cassidy losing, because I really did not expect him to lose the title there.
That's a fair one. Yeah.
Let's see. Let's do a OMG moment or holy moment.
I mean, that one's fairly easy. Darby Allin about killing himself.
I don't. I just kind of added that one on the fly. I knew that would be it. That's definitely the one that, like, the crowd, like, it was silence almost, and then just like holy, you know, the chance going on.
Very much so. Yeah. That's probably gonna be the easiest OMG moment I have for anything.
Yeah. So I want to do match of the night and then maybe just moment, maybe like non wrestling moment or whatever. Whichever one you want to do first. Unless you can think of any other categories.
So what you mean, like favorite non wrestling moment?
Yeah.
Man, that means I have to pick something other than Steamboat.
Yeah, well, and I guess that's... Yeah, Steamboat would fit in there, too.
I guess the only other thing that I can... And you know, not everybody got to experience this because they kind of cut it off. Mm-hmm. But I guess the whole celebration at the end of the night, I guess that would be my other favorite non-wrestling moment.
Yeah.
Just seeing the send off that Sting got after everything at the end of the night.
I have to say the same thing. And I'll go just the whole presentation around the final match between the video package at the beginning, the entrance, and you know, the image of him holding the title up with the confetti and the speech and basically just everything around it. The locker room coming out. Let's see.
That's good.
Yeah. I guess before we get to match of the night, let me do which superstar, well, wrestler came out of it looking the best or like move the needle the most for going forward for them. Yeah, I think I remember doing this one for All Out that we watched, and I think we both said maybe Jericho for that one when he beat whoever it was he beat at that time.
Yeah. I have to say either, like, I could go either Roderick Strong, because he actually holds a championship now, you know, which adds a second belt to the Undisputed. Or I could go Wardlow, who, you know, they had beat seven other men to earn a heavyweight championship match.
Yeah.
So I think either one of those could be a good answer.
Yeah, my initial thought was Wardlow, which was probably who I'd give it to. But they're also Swerve.
Okay, yeah, that's a good answer. Yeah, because, I mean, I would really love if they went the route that you talked about earlier to where it's like, well, Joe, you never submitted me, so I feel like I deserve to have another championship match. So
yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's a good answer, too. That's a good answer. I like that one. So, match of the night, I guess.
Yeah.
Something that the easiest answer would be the last one. It'd be Sting, Darby Allin versus Young Bucks. But to not sound like a broken clock, I'll go Will Ospreay and however you pronounce his name.
Takeshita.
There we go.
Yeah.
I forgot. So I feel like that's the obvious second answer if you want to go that route.
Yeah, and that's my answer too. And that was my match of the night prediction going in. You know, and we pretty much take the final match out of it because it was a spectacle that the final match was. But as far as pure in-ring wrestling, I got to give it to Ospreay, and for me, as of right now, it's early match of the year candidate.
That's crazy hearing that in March, but it was a fantastic match, and that's my unbiased answer. You know, that's, you know, admitting that I'm a Sting fan, so I was gonna love the last match regardless.
Yeah,
but. You know, that Ospreay Takeshita match was just super fantastic.
Yeah. All right. So without further ado, so what do you grade the show as a whole? Do you need Did you write your grades down, or you need me to go through them again?
No, I think I'm fairly confident in what in the answer that I'll. I think after everything, I think an A minus is a good way to go.
Yeah, that's fair. I want to give it a plus. Mm-hmm. But it's probably the best AEW pay-per-view I've seen by far. But I haven't watched all of them by any means. Now with some WWE shows, there's some better as a whole, you know, and had every match been in the A range, then I'd have no problem, but you said A minus. I think that's fair for that. An A minus. Yeah, I think about it just straight A, but A minus is good.
Okay. So. Yeah. I just, unfortunately, I think the women's match kind of brings it down a little bit. And then
and the 8-man a little bit.
Yeah. And I personally wasn't a big fan of the tag match.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, still a great grade. Great grade. I mean, it's not very often that you're going to rate a pay-per-view as a whole in the A range. Yeah. There's a lot of stinkers out there.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, we've been going about an hour and a half, so unless you got anything to add, we'll do our plugs and get out of here.
Okay. I guess the only thing is, you know, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, this is the first Jobber and Jabroni show that we have done in a while. Mm-hmm. The ultimate goal is to start giving you guys more wrestling content, and we have talked about different ways to give you more content, different things that we've talked about doing. So be on the lookout for more Jobber and Jabroni shows.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I'm sure our next show, I'm sure it will be a Cheap Seats. I don't know about next week. We'll try to get one in the next couple weeks. I don't know what it'll be, but we'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out. Yeah. So if you would like to join this show on Facebook, we do have a Facebook page for our Jobber and Jabroni show. It is literally the Jobber and Jabroni show. You just go into your little search bar up top and you should be able to find us. If you are more of a Twitter/X person, then you can search us under Jobber_Jabroni1. So that's Jobber_Jabroni and the number 1. We were on Instagram. I kind of haven't been able to log into that, so I haven't made a new Instagram for us yet. So I'll let you know whenever we get back on Instagram.
It's all good. Yeah, and of course, just be sure to follow the show. Now it's Cheering from the Cheap Seats. If you already follow that show, this is, you know, same people, you know, it's really just an excuse for us to talk about wrestling. So if you subscribe to Cheering from the Cheap Seats on any podcast platform, you'll get this show whenever we release one. So be sure to rate and review if it allows that. I know Apple and Spotify, well, Apple you can review, Spotify you can leave a rating. That helps us get found. And just spread the word. You know, if you like wrestling or know if any of your friends like wrestling, just share the show and spread the word.
Yeah. We look forward to, you know, I know I've enjoyed getting back into the swing of things with Cheering from the Cheap Seats. Mm-hmm. And it'd be really fun to get back into the swing of things with this one too. So I look forward to it.
All right. Well, unless you got anything else, I think that's all I got.
I think we covered everything.
Yeah. And, I don't have a sign off. So for now, see you till next time.
Bye.
Bye.